Local Runners Podcast is powered by TalkTalk's Future Fibre, which has now arrived here in Manchester. Future Fibre broadband is ultra-fast and ultra-reliable, and with speeds up to a whopping 900 megabit per second, it's fast enough to handle anything you throw at it. Plus, you can connect over 75 devices at once, so bye-bye fighting over the Wi-Fi. As if it couldn't get any better, Future Fibre plans now come with an Amazon Eero Mesh router, so you get the latest in Wi-Fi 6 tech for free. To see if your postcode can get Future Fibre, search TalkTalk Future Fibre now. Welcome to episode 21 of the Local Runners Podcast, the podcast by runners, for runners. We are your hosts. I'm Dave Norman.
I'm Colin Parkinson.
And I'm Sean Warburton.
And I'm Katie Decay.
We're now on the last episode of season one. Over the past year, we've been able to bring interesting running stories, brilliant running knowledge, important questions like long run meals, from cheesy crumpets to celery.
We've had 21 guests answering all our questions and listeners' questions over the last 20 episodes. We've also given advice on different subjects within running, shoes being a popular one. We've also had a blooper or two. Some have made it into episodes and some have been saved for a special occasion.
We're going to kick this episode off with a review. We're going to kick this episode off with a review.
Right, okay, I'll move on to the next question. That's the last one. Oh no, there's sorry. So you can edit that out. The main man, Callum, can edit that.
And the same for Becky and Josh.
Okay, that's it for this episode. Don't forget to show us your local runners podcast. Let me start again. That's it for this episode. Don't forget to show us your local runners podcast kit. Sorry, that I've is. Got...
Local Runners Podcast has grown, where we've been able to get Local Runners Podcast merch, and now we have a banner or two that we'll take to races and park runs. So if you see us, come and have a chat. Last episode, we asked for your success stories, and here are a few for us to read out. First of all, we have one from Matt Smith from Hyde. Matt writes, "Hey guys, love the show. Here's my success story. I started running in the summer of 2019, doing couch to 5K to lose some weight. Fast forward to now, I've lost nearly 9 stone, completed a handful of races, including the Manchester Marathon, and most recently I finished 12th in a half marathon in Heaton Park in 1:30:45. I'm really enjoying my running and seeing all my times constantly improving. Hopefully looking to join a club in the future. Cheers, Matt from Hyde."
It's incredible, story.
Oh, 9 stone is just absolutely incredible. What a story.
9 stone is pretty much my weight.
Yeah, yeah. And to finish 12th in a half marathon in 1:30:45 in the space of, 2 years?
Yeah.
Just incredible. Yeah. So big congratulations to Matt. And what an inspirational story that is.
Yeah, congratulations, Matt. We've got a couple more. So one from Alan Cook of East Cheshire said, "After listening to the Liam and Gav Brown episode, me and my stepbrother Liam were inspired to go down and try a few sessions at East Cheshire, where we've now joined and been training with Glenn Piper." So Alan's one of the lads that I train with on a Tuesday and a Thursday night. We've also got a message from Mark Bowsey of Stockport Harriers. Said, "I've loved the podcast this year, guys. What a refreshing addition to the list of existing running podcasts it's been. Each episode has been entertaining, informative and inspiring. The number of discussions about joining and being a member of a club persuaded me to finally do so, and I've joined Stockport Harriers. I found a great group and a great coach, Steve Shaughnessy. I hope I'm saying that right. There to train with, and I'm noticing benefits already, having joined in September. Highlight of my year, apart from joining Stockport, was undoubtedly after many years of trying, finally hitting the sub 25k at Mid Cheshire in August. Thanks for what has become an essential running podcast. Enjoy your Christmas and New Year break, but please don't leave it too long until the first podcast of 2022. That's really good because he's really close to sub 40 now, I think, as well. It's just knocking on that door.
Yeah, he's going well. Do you know what, as well? He's even wearing Vaporflies and a vest now, Mark. You've seen that. That's he's, you know you're a runner when you're doing that.
I think it's quite a while for Glenn, his coach, to convince him. So he's also had some input from Glenn Piper at East Cheshire, I know.
Oh, that's and, good.
I think Glenn was banging the drum for quite a while. Mark, you'd take quite a bit off your time if you weren't racing in the middle of summer in a T-shirt. Get yourself a vest.
Yeah, I think once you've got wore a vest racing, you can't go back, can you? Can't go back. It's, anyway, so we got another message in from Liam Faherty. I think I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Liam. Liam's messaging quite a lot recently to us, so it's good to hear from you again. So he's messaged in on Instagram and he's now running for East Cheshire. And he says, I really enjoyed the podcast and every episode I've taken so much away in terms of top advice. As a relative novice at 37, listening to the pod has been a massive part of feeding me interest in running and getting us through the a testing 18 months in and out of lockdowns. It's definitely helped in training smarter and getting to know some of the running community in Tameside. So it's been great for my physical and mental health throughout. I've managed to complete the Tour of Tameside and finishing in 28th place overall. Go sub 19 at Stamford Park Run, which is actually decent time on that course as well, Liam. And finished the year with a 38:22 at Walmsall 10K, all of which I thought would be impossible a year ago. And I've got my forms into East Cheshire a couple of weeks ago after listening to the Brown Brothers episode. It's been good to meet you, your own Callum, and run alongside him at Tuesday nights. So keep up the good work, guys. Every guest has been superb. Thanks to you for all your time and effort. And get a local runner's race on in 2022. How about that? That's something to think about, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think the Brown Brothers are turning into the Hardmen of Salford, aren't they? that episode brought a lot of runners over that way. So yeah, rising. Yeah.
Okay, so we've got a message in from Emma Smith from Facebook. So Emma said, just to say, I started listening to the podcast right from the beginning and I've not missed an episode. They've kept me going through the long marathon training runs and I took so many tips and advice from them and I've booked the marathon again for next year as I know that I can do better and learn from all the advice in better time ahead of April 2022. I particularly love the Tour of Tameside episode. It really helped me to feel much more prepared for my first tour. Just wanted to say thank you. Awesome podcasts. So a really nice message there from Emma.
And she dipped just under 4 hours, I think, as well at Manchester Marathon. She was running with a friend she called Steve. Yeah.
Yeah,
she did really well.
Yeah, she's done really well. So yeah, she's going again for marathon in April and hoping to do even better again. So yeah, she's done fab.
Brilliant.
Well done, Emma.
So earlier this week, we asked the people to vote for their favourite episode or episodes of the season. So before we give the results of the vote, let's see what episode we all like the most and why. So I just want to start by saying I've absolutely loved being part of the podcast. And I want to say a big thank you to Callum, Sean and Gav for being such a great team. To all our guests throughout the season, including Katie, who's with us again today. And to all of our listeners, especially those who've given us such positive feedback. From my own point of view, my personal favourite episode was the Tour of Tameside episode where we were out and about meeting and greeting the runners as they finished. Just soaking up that atmosphere at the finish of each race and at the start. It inspired me to enter my first ever tour next year. So I'm looking forward to doing that. Just inspirational, just hearing everybody's stories and seeing the buzz and the atmosphere at the finish. If I had to single out another episode where we had a guest, it would be the recent one with Carl Hardman. I found Carl really entertaining as always. And I think you could relate to him whatever level you're at. And to top it all off, we recorded it over pizza, so win-win. What about you, Callum?
I think One of the best episodes was Mike Deegan, just for storytelling about Ron. I think that's I know that's always going to be a popular one. I think speaking to Callum Rowlinson was really good. Again, he was really entertaining. But I'm going to go back to one of the earlier episodes when we had Andy Jones on. I re-listened to that the other day when I was out on a run. And it was one of the first episodes when we were a little bit rusty. But he was just so entertaining, really straight to the point, and had some really good answers. And listening to his stories in the marathon as well with you, Dave, was really good. So I'll probably go Andy Jones and then Callum. And Dave, I've got to ask, have you actually booked the tour of Tameside now then?
I've actually not, no. with all that's going on at the moment, I think it's risky entering anything at the moment.
Yeah.
But I don't think I have any issues getting a place. Yeah, we were chatting about that earlier, myself and Sean, saying, you know, any race you enter at the moment, it could be money down the drain, unfortunately. So just, maybe it's a wait and see, unfortunately.
Yeah. What about Sean? Yeah,
great shot on Andy Jones. And it's funny you should mention about, being one of the earlier episodes and sounding a bit rusty. I definitely think we've got better as a recording team as the series has gone on.
Yeah, there's not much editing required now.
Not much editing. It all feels a lot more natural now than it did to start with. Particularly those episodes where we've got together in the same room, they've really flowed really nicely.
Yeah. So then, Sean, what's your favourite episode?
Well, I think it's probably no surprise. I've talked about this episode a lot when we've been discussing this. The Ron Hill episode of Mike Deegan. It was like I was at the cinema watching a film, that, you know, a life story. And I was actually a bit emotional at the end of that. I don't know, I'm not afraid to say that. You know, I thought, wow, you know, and I couldn't stop thinking about it for days because I come into running quite late. So I probably learned a lot about Ron Hill retrospectively. And that was a real education, that episode. I think that was the one that stands out to me the most as well. And then probably Georgia Taylor Brown as well stands out. Don't know if it was just me, but I was really nervous on that episode going into it. And certainly because, you know, I do the social media, I was thinking, God, I hope I get the detail right on these posts. It's just quite a privilege, I think, to speak to Georgia and see the medal as well. So, yeah, I think they'd be my two that stand out this year.
Yeah,
they've all been good. And I echo what Dave said. I've really enjoyed being part of the podcast. I've learnt so much from every guest. I've taken something, I think, that, you know, I think about when I'm training, when I'm running. What about yourself, Katie? What would you say is your favourite?
I think like the rest of you have said, I've enjoyed them all, really. I think they've all been really good. I have enjoyed the female guests that you've had on, so I've particularly enjoyed those episodes, just to kind of listening to a female perspective. I think has been really, really useful, really interesting for me personally. I think, like Dave said, though, I did like the Tour of Tameside one as well, because I've talked about it before, I've done the tour and I do love it, and I do think that episode, when you're out and about, it really did kind of pick up the atmosphere and help to really capture that. I really enjoyed that as well. But I think if I had to choose one, for me, it'd be Hayley Simpson. I just think that Hayley's really inspirational. I guess that's the word that I would use to describe Hayley. I think, you know, she's a young runner herself. But I think what I learned from that episode is that she's not just in it for herself, that she does so much for the young people. And I was aware that she was a coach at East Cheshire Harriers, but I didn't realise just how much she did. So, you know, I think she's quite modest. You know, she keeps quite a low profile, but actually what she does for those young people is quite amazing. Hayley would get my vote, I think.
Yeah, she when I see her at East Cheshire, I think I was there on Tuesday night, and she gets there, it's freezing. No matter the weather, she's out and about and she's helping everyone out. And I'm surprised she gets time to get her own running in, to be honest.
I know, exactly. I just think she does so much, doesn't she? Yeah,
must be up at the crack of dawn.
Well, yeah. I've seen her this week on social media.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dave.
And I know she's an avid listener of the podcast as well, as is her mother. Was a very good runner herself back in the day. I think we alluded to that in the Tour of Tameside episode. And got some really nice feedback from her mother at a recent cross-country race, where she came up to me and just said how much she enjoyed the podcast and please don't ever stop doing it, she said. So that was really nice.
Yeah, we got to have a chat with her. I think I spoke to her at the half marathon after I spoke to Hayley. She went, get my mum on. She did the original tour.
So, yeah. That might be one for season two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the most voted for episode by the listeners was Mike Deegan, the tribute to Ron Hill. Very closely followed by the Tour of Tameside episode. But yeah, thank you for everyone who voted. We had plenty of votes. Lots of the episodes got voted for, but the two that stood out on the votes were Mike Deegan and the Tour of Tameside episode. So thank you again. Now, yeah. On to our training. Over the last few weeks, we've had a few races. There was the Manchester League Cross Country, the third round. There was the Greater Manchester Cross Country Championships. And also the Langdale Christmas Pudding 10K. Big shout out first for our guest from the previous episode, Nigel Martin, who won both the Manchester League Cross Country and the Greater Manchester Cross Country Championships in the last two weekends. He said he doesn't feel he wins that many races, but he's done two in 2 weeks. And not only has he done two in 2 weeks, he's actually won all three of the Manchester Leagues so far. So he's on a real roll with these wins in the cross countries. An overview of our own training and racing. So we'll start with me. The day after we recorded the last episode, I ran the third round of the Manchester Cross Country League. Had a pretty good race. I improved from 40th in round two to 26th in round three. So yeah, quite a nice little improvement there. Really enjoying the league races. Hope to continue to improve my position as the season goes on. Training seems to be going in the right direction. One thing I have changed in the last couple of weeks is I'm trying to run off road a lot more because I know that's always helped with my cross country racing. Just as those bigger cross country races start to approach, just trying to spend more time running off road on technical ground and get better at running over difficult terrain. Particularly as I'll be sticking to cross country for the foreseeable future. I don't have any road races in the pipeline. Then at the weekend, I also ran the Greater Manchester Cross Country Championships. I didn't run quite as well in this one. It's the first time I've ran at the course at Lee Sports Village, and it was a course that I found it quite difficult to get to grips with. There was a real mix of gravel paths, slippy mud, we actually ran through water at some point, which was so big that many people were actually referring to it as a lake. So it was quite a varied course, but I did struggle to get to grips with it. So I finished in 13th place, which actually might sound like a better run than the league race because 13th place is higher. But looking at the guys around me, I was probably about 50 to 60 seconds short of my league performance the week before. Now looking forward to a bit of a break from racing over the Christmas period. Next one's likely to be the next league race. Although I may do a part runner or two over Christmas, possibly Christmas Day or New Year's Day or even both. So who wants to go next with their training update?
I'll go with mine. So after we recorded with Nigel, I did Stanford part run. Dipped under the 20-minute mark there. So know that I'm improving a fair bit. Did a Sunday long run with the local lads down the Fallowfield Loop. I thought it might be like going out at 8-minute miles. It ended up being sevens. I was struggling for the rest of the day. And then ended up doing a session on the bike track at Ashton, 6x4 minutes. It was the night that it was like ridiculously windy. Last week, so worked well with Alan Cook, basically taking turns on drafting with each other. Then training's been going just generally all right. And then I thought I'd try a grass session, grass tempo. So I did 35 minutes at 7 minute miling, and it's unbelievable how hard it is running on grass for a tempo. So I've got southeast Lancs cross country on Saturday. So I'm gonna be hurting it after that at at Heaton Park, and hopefully everything will go okay there. But started double run days as well. So I did a double run day on Tuesday and then did a session at night, and really struggled at night. So I'm going to change that round a little bit. So I'm not going to do a double run on a day with a session. So I'll probably just do easy after we spoke about double sessions last time. And that's it from me, really. What about you, Sean?
So good, really, last couple of weeks. So I'm still just getting that structure now, so I'm really enjoying the sessions with the guys down at Sports City on Tuesday on the track. Yeah, getting some really good sessions. I mean, it was a monster of a session that Ian Grimes set, the guys over at Cleverley's, which we did on the track at Sports City. It's quite brutal, struggling after that for a couple of days. But doing the tempos as well, and I'm feeling more and more comfortable on them tempos tonight. I mean, we had a really good run tonight. I think it was nearer to 5:30s and 5:45s tonight, 5 miles. And I think that showed in my 10K in Langdale as well. I changed my tactic in that race because it's quite a small field. So I knew I wanted to go out quite hard, really, so I could be near the front, really. So that's what I did. I went out quite fast. And it's fast for me anyway. And I was sitting in about 10th or 11th. And once we hit the hills, which come in about mile 3, I just felt myself moving through the field then, and people started to drop away. The weather was rubbish. I mean, as well, it's always raining there. I've never run a race in Langdale and it's been dry. That's without a doubt. But when I said before, I take something from every guest, that a little sort of nugget, if you like. I was really hurting about mile 4, and I felt like I'd almost just pushed myself too hard. You know, you nearly gas yourself and you feel like your legs are starting to empty. And I just thought of what Nigel Martin said when he said, I can't remember what he was talking about, but he said, racing hurts. You know, basically that's the way it is. And I just thought to myself, that is the way it is. So just sort of dig in, really. You know what I mean? Don't ease off, because I could hear footsteps behind me. Managed to run away from them and finish 6th overall. So I was well pleased with that. I was about 2 minutes quicker than when I ran that course it would have been 2019 now, because we missed a year. So yeah, really pleased. I feel like it's going well for me. I'm obviously just focusing on the speed stuff at the moment and shorter distances. Get myself in good 10K shape, hopefully, for the Ribble Valley over Christmas. And then looking forward to the new year, start to build up the volume then, and get myself in marathon shape for April for the Wrexham race.
How are you fine with you doing the tempos on a Thursday? Do you think your fitness is getting considerably better for the Tuesday sessions and your long runs?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I'm not doing a lot of long running at the minute. I'm probably running a weekly run of about 11 to 13 miles. It's probably about as long as I'm doing at the moment, which is long enough for what I'm doing at the minute. But we are running a bit quicker. I mean, the group on Thursdays, they tend to be running 8 mile tempo and progress it. So we'll start at 5:45s, probably end near a 5:20s. And but I'll sit in with them for about 5 or 6 miles and then drop off. But I'm managing to stay in the group, and I'm feeling more and more comfortable at that pace now, which obviously helps you when you're racing. You just feel more comfortable, don't you? The more used to that pace you are, the easier it becomes, really, I suppose. And that's what's been missing for my training the last 12 to 18 months, those tempos. I've been doing them on my own, but it's not the same. You can't press yourself as much when you're running on your own. You know, it's nice to sit in with a group who know what they're doing and they can control the pace. It's a little bit erratic when I do them. I'll have a quick mile and a slow mile. And so, you know, it's just nice to train with other people. So, yeah, 100%. It's definitely helping me that.
Yeah, and the thing I'm noticing with you as well, Sean, is like your tempo is now of what your race pace would have been before for that distance. You know, so that's it. As your tempos get quicker, your races will get quicker as well.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean, that pace we were doing tonight at 5 miles, pretty much we 10K pace that, and felt okay. That's pretty. So I'm really looking forward to Ribble Valley. I'm going to take a leaf out of Mark Collier's book as well and just go out hard, see, roll the dice. See, I always go out quite steady because I run everything like I'm running a marathon, because that's probably the distance I enjoy the most. I think in 10Ks, 5Ks, you've probably got to roll the dice a little bit more, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so how about you, Katie? I mean, your first training update, and there's lots to talk about.
Yeah, so I guess since I was last on, obviously, I think the big thing that was coming up for me was the ultra marathon. So that was back in July now. So I did that, the Heights Ultra Trail Marathon. It was a 50-miler, but we ended up doing 52 miles in the end because got a bit lost. So 52 miles over 7,000 feet of elevation. So quite hilly, but that's what I love out there. So it took nearly 12 hours, but absolutely loved it. Took it really easy because I just didn't know what to expect, didn't know what my body would be like running for that period of time. But it was absolutely fine. So I'd love to do that again, or to do another ultra. I'm not sure that I'd like to do a much higher distance. I mean, I did think at one point about a 100-miler, but to be honest, I think that's just a bit stupid. Maybe 100K I might look at, but we'll see. But anyway, yeah, I would. I absolutely loved it, would recommend it. I think if people enjoy getting off-road, then that kind of thing is brilliant. I did take a tumble at about 20 miles in, I think, which was a bit dramatic, but I styled it out, rolled over and just got up without anybody seeing me. It was a bit dramatic though, because I'd put my mum as an emergency contact in my watch, so my watch then started ringing my mum to say I'd had an accident, and anyway we managed to get in touch with her, tell her it was all fine, and restarted my watch and off I went again.
We were tracking you on the there was an app, wasn't there? We were tracking you, and it seemed to go quiet for a while, and we were sort of messaging going, "How's Katie?"
That might be why, yeah, because I think my watch cut off when I'd had a tumble, and then I had to restart again. So yeah, apologies. I think a few people got a bit worried, but it was all fine. Then I was a bit tired after that, but you know, to be expected. Built up my mileage, ready for the tour. Did the tour, absolutely loved that. Again, one of my favourite events. So loved the change of the first race, obviously was changed from the normal course, but it was tough, but absolutely loved that. Day two, obviously the Hell on the Fell, my thing. I absolutely loved that, loved the hills. That was my favourite. Hated day three with a passion. I hate that half marathon. I just cannot get my head around it. It just gets me every time I run down there. I don't know. It just really gets me. So I really struggled with that, but anyway, managed to kind of pull myself back. Loved the Hyde 7. I think just the atmosphere on that day is amazing. And I finished in sixth place overall on the tour, female, so I was quite happy with that. Second Vet 40. So yeah, I didn't go into it with any expectations, but to finish sixth, I was really pleased with that. So hopefully can maybe even build on that again next year. I've not booked again, like Dave said. I'm kind of holding back at the minute, but I will be. If the tour goes ahead, I will be doing it. Did feel tired after the tour. Again, kind of struggled a little bit. I don't know, people might see on social media, I kept joking to say that I think I'd left my mojo on that that half marathon on the Longdendale Trail, because I just couldn't seem to kind of get going again. Anyway, I knew I had London Marathon coming up, so tried to pick things up a little bit. I was conscious I needed to do some long runs because I'd not really done anything since the ultra. So I did an 18-mile run. And that was the only long run that I did. And then I picked up COVID, unfortunately. And things have gone a bit downhill since then. I was really poorly with COVID. It attacked the muscle fibers in my legs. Apparently the doctor said I couldn't walk for 3 days. So I couldn't actually get on the stairs. I had to slide down the stairs on my bum. It was really bizarre. I didn't have the usual symptoms. So I didn't have a cough, a cold or anything like that. But it just physically kind of attacked my body. And I was quite poorly. I was off work for 5 weeks. And I've struggled since, just my breathing when I'm out running, and my heart rate. So my heart rate's been going apparently my resting heart rate's too low, so it's around 40, and my heart rate on exertion is around 200, going to about 203. So the doctors are concerned of that, that kind of difference between what it is resting and on exertion. And then the other thing is my blood oxygen levels are too low as well. So they're kind of hovering around 89, 91, and they should be 95 or above. So I'm under a consultant at the minute, a respiratory consultant, and they've said for now to take it easy. And they've given me an inhaler to use, and I've got to go for some more tests. So that's still a battle. But obviously, I didn't know this at the time, and I had London Marathon booked. So because I was struggling, I decided I was just going to try and defer my place. They wouldn't let me defer because it was a good free age place. So I thought, I'll just go and I'll watch. But I don't think that was really going to happen. So I went the day before not thinking, I don't know if I am actually going to run or not, but I did. Well, I decided I was going to do a mile. So run a mile, walk a mile, run a mile, walk a mile, because that's all I'd been able to do really whilst I had COVID. Anyway, I met a lady on the start line called Emma from Wales, and we just got talking. And then all of a sudden it hit me of how tired I felt. And I looked at my watch and my heart rate was at 203, but we were at 18 miles. So I said to her, I need to stop talking, you go. So she went on and I just carried on. I thought I was going to stop at that point, but I thought I'll just keep plodding. And I got my phone out and I took some pictures and did some videos and just tried to distract myself. I managed to run to the end and finished in 3:44. So I actually, it's not marathon PB, but I got another good free age place. So I was actually amazed that I finished that. But I think, I mean, I couldn't do that now based on my breathing and kind of how I'm still struggling. I think the adrenaline on the day must have just got me through, because I know, Sean, you know, the atmosphere is, it's just absolutely electric. And it's like nothing you've experienced.
Yeah.
So
compared to previous, that's the only time I've ever run it. How does it compare to previous? Because to me, it was just unbelievable.
Yeah, well, that's my third London Marathon, and it's just exactly the same, to be honest. In terms of the atmosphere and everything, it didn't, you know, I don't think you would be aware that there was, you know, COVID was around or anything. It just seemed as it, you know, as it ever has done before. Yeah. But for me, it was probably my favourite marathon because I took my foot off the gas. So I wasn't thinking about time, or like I say, I got, like you've probably seen again some of the videos I put on social media, I videoed going over Tower Bridge and, you know, videoed coming into the finish, which obviously you wouldn't normally do if you were racing, but I was just trying to enjoy it and soak it up and kind of distract myself from how I was feeling. So yeah, I was amazed that I actually managed to cross the line in 3:44. And like I say, managed to actually get a good free age place again for 2022. Yeah, so for next year. So I look forward to doing that. But yeah, again, since then, I guess because of how I've been, I've not really done too much. I did have a stab at cross country at Heaton Park a few weeks ago. That's the first cross country I've ever done. Absolutely killed me. Took me back to my school days running on grass. Like I think, like you said, Callum, it is really hard. So I did struggle with that. I think I finished 14th. I'm due to do it again this Saturday. Again, I'm in two minds as whether I should run. I mean, I guess if I'm being sensible, I shouldn't be running, but it's only 5 miles, isn't it? So we'll see how I feel on the day.
There's no such thing as a sensible injured runner, though, is there?
I know. But I've got my inhaler now, so maybe that'll get me round.
That should be okay.
There we go.
I know, exactly, sensible as they come. So we'll see. I'll come to Heaton Park on Saturday and I will see how I feel. I might just have to sit it out, and like I say, I've got some more tests booked at the hospital in January, so we'll see. So for now, we'll just I'm just ticking over, really doing what I can. I've booked Manchester Marathon for April in the hope that I can get a good free age place ready for London 2023, because I just love London, and I don't really like marathon running, but I would run London every year if I could. So I'll run Manchester to try and get a time to run London in 23. So that's me. Okay, so now on to the interview of the episode, or the interview of the series, we should say. So we've got three runners with us tonight. Unfortunately, we should have four with us, but Gav can't join us tonight. So it's three with us tonight. And those runners have brought you a podcast recorded via Zoom. from various pubs and from someone's dining room whilst eating pizza. Pineapple pizza, I might add. So yeah, that's all wrong. Hopefully we can they can redeem themselves tonight. So we had we have a Salford Harrier, an East Cheshire Harrier, and an Altrincham One Club man. Please welcome Sean Warburton, Callum Parkinson, and Dave Norman.
Welcome, thanks, guys. Katie. Thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, thank you.
No worries. Thanks for joining us on our end of year Christmas special.
No problems. Thanks for having me back. I'm looking forward to these questions. Okay, so to start with, I think it's really important that we get to know our guests. So aside from running, can you tell us something interesting about yourselves that we might not know? Callum, do you want to start?
Yeah, it's a bit morbid for the start of the pod. But I was going to be a twin when I was born. But my mum miscarried. I was also 12 pounds when I was born, so I was quite a big baby. But on a happier note, I can solve a Rubik's Cube in less than a minute.
Seriously, we're going to have to get that on the pod at some point and go on Instagram Live all time.
I'll have to get practicing. But yeah, that's...
thanks for sharing that, Callum.
That's about it. Sorry Thank for being you. Morbid Dave, for the first question.
Well, mine's not a very exciting answer, but it's something you probably all don't know. So you do know that I manage a running shop at the moment, but I'm guessing you didn't know that prior to that, I was an accountant.
Yeah. Interesting.
Not very exciting, but it's something I don't think you'll know.
Thank you for sharing. I'll throw on the subject of slightly uninteresting careers. That's what I was going to touch on. So I left school wanting to be a mechanic like everyone did in the 90s. And somehow ended up working in a factory and working my way up into a health and safety manager at that site. And now I'm a national health and safety manager for Kuehne+Nagel, which is a logistics company. So for me, the last 12 months I've spent the last 2 years I've spent dealing with the pandemic for the business, you know, writing the policy and dealing with all the requirements around testing and all that kind of stuff. So I've just lived and breathed all this, you know. So to say I'm over it entirely is an understatement.
Okay, thanks, guys. Thanks for sharing. I think Callum's Rubik's Cube skills wins it for me with that one.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, finally won something.
Yeah. So we've got to prove it first, though, Callum.
And we've now got an accountant for the podcast, Callum. We've got an accountant and an IT.
Yeah, when we go big time.
So cross country on Saturday, Callum. You bring that Rubik's Cube and I'll video you, put you to the test.
Okay, if I remember. Hopefully I'll forget it.
Okay, and then moving on. So obviously, with the festivities coming up, it's obviously key that we get to know those all-important foodie answers. So, sprouts or no sprouts, Dave?
Definitely no sprouts. They are vile.
No. See, this is what I was going to say. We could fall out here. Cool. Sean, come on.
Yeah, I love sprouts, mate. Gotta be sprouts.
Callum?
Yeah, more the better. You'll be in pain after. But yeah, more the better.
Yeah. Not before running.
No.
There is my favourite Indian restaurant, though, where I order vegetable rice. They have sprouts in the vegetable rice.
Really?
They do, and I eat it, and I enjoy it.
Just at Christmas or all year round?
All year round. Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
So you eat sprouts all year round?
You do eat sprouts, yeah.
Yeah, basically, that's the essence of it, yeah.
Oh, we can still be friends then if you do eat sprouts.
Exactly.
And some guys. Okay, and the next important question, how many pigs in blankets will you be having on your Christmas dinner? Callum?
Oh, 5 max. You can't have more than 5.
John?
As many as my dad gives me, really. Go with my mum and dad's for Christmas dinner. And yeah, I'm the most least fussy person in the world, to be honest with you, with food. You know what I mean? Whatever I get for Christmas dinner, I'll be eating it.
Dave?
Four is the magic number with pigs in blankets, I think. I do enjoy my pigs in blankets.
Oh, they're my favourites. My favourite bit of the Christmas dinner. I think
they are good, aren't they?
Yeah.
Got to save room for afters.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Oh, there's always room. Okay, and then Christmas pudding and mince pies for dessert then, or something more traditional? Sean?
Yeah, Christmas pudding with brandy sauce for me.
Dave?
Christmas pudding with brandy sauce straight after the Christmas dinner. A few hours for it to settle down, and then mince pie and a slice of Christmas cake in the evening to complete a calorie overload for the day.
Oh, yes, Dave. We can be friends. That's a great answer. Come on, Callum, don't let us down.
I'm pretty sure, Dave, she said one or the other. You can't have everything.
It was Christmas pudding and mince pies or something more traditional.
Do apologise. Anything chocolate. I don't actually think I've ever had a Christmas pudding. So if there is one there, I might have one.
Callum, you've not lived.
Clearly not.
Yeah. Why have you never had one?
Because I'm quite fussy with my food. And normally there'll be chocolate biscuits, and I'd rather have a load of chocolate biscuits for me afters than some of that I might not like.
You've not lived. Have you not had Christmas pudding with brandy sauce?
No.
You're just denying yourself.
Well, I'm at the mother-in-law's this year, so I'll message her and see if she can put it on the list.
Well, when I ran the Christmas pudding 10K, the reason it's called that is because you get a Christmas pudding at the end of it.
Do you?
Yeah, a big one as well. It says serves four on it. I mean, serves four. I'll eat all that myself, no problem.
Anything that says serves four never serves four, does it?
Laura's in the other room and she's just shouted over to say that there is a Christmas pudding there, so I'll try one on Christmas Day. I'll get the brandy, what is it, brandy sauce?
Brandy sauce.
Right. There we go. Excellent. Then.
Okay. You can report back on the next podcast then, can't you, Callum?
We can.
Need all the important stuff discussing. Okay, and obviously of utmost importance, what will feature of your festive tipple this year to wash all that yummy food down with?
Oof.
Go on, Dave.
Well, I'm not a big drinker nowadays, and I'll be driving on Christmas Day, so I have to say I probably won't drink anything on Christmas Day. I'm not someone who drinks at home either. I'm definitely a social drinker, so if I get out and about over Christmas, definitely be enjoying a few beers. And one tipple I really do enjoy is a whiskey and coke. I love a whiskey and coke.
You're not going to let me down, Dave, and say that you're going to have a cup of tea on Christmas Day?
Oh, absolutely not. Not a chance.
That's all right, then. John, what's your tipple?
Well, I like my real ale, mate, so I'll probably have a bottle of, or more than a bottle, actually, of Lowell's Water Gold. It's a pale ale from the Lake District. I've ordered a couple of boxes of that for the festive period. Oh. Similar to Dave, I don't really drink in the house normally, but obviously it's Christmas, isn't it? So you got to drink in the house at Christmas.
Absolutely. Callum?
I usually drive on Christmas Day like Dave, so I'll probably have a non-alcoholic beer. And then when I get home, I'll probably have whatever beer I've been bought for Christmas. Hopefully, I've been bought some beer for Christmas.
Are you two doing Ribble Valley? Are you both running Ribble Valley?
Yeah, I am.
I'm worried. Not. I'm going to be the only one. Okay.
You'll be fine, Sean. It's Christmas. You've got to enjoy yourself. Okay, now for a couple more serious running questions from me. Still the first one food related. Obviously, I'm sure guests have realised by now I'm a bit of a foodie, so I've been a bit disappointed by the answer to this question over the last couple of episodes, so I'm going to ask, what are your post-run food cravings?
Oof.
Go on then, Dave.
If I do a long run, I'm basically depleted. The one thing I always crave is a full sugar Coke.
Yeah.
Liz Mason's tipple that after a race, isn't
it? Yeah, I remember that from the Mike and Liz episode.
Yeah. Callum, what about yourself?
Anything sugary. I did start to have a pint of milk on my long runs when I was training for London Virtual. But now just anything, chocolate, biscuits. But normally I struggle to eat when I get in after a long run.
More like it though. I like that kind of answer more than celery or an apple. Yeah.
What's wrong with people?
What is wrong with people? I know. I'm like a burger and a pint kind of girl. I'm not sure what people are doing. Well, clearly that's where I'm going wrong. Sean?
Yeah, I always have a couple of things. I always have a protein shake after a long run. My first thing, chocolate. But then I have a crumpets with peanut butter on and a brew. Big brew as well. I've not got my cup with me now, but a proper cup of tea.
Bucket.
Yeah. That's it. I love that, mate. That's it.
Good. Well, you can't beat crumpets. So, yeah, that's a good answer.
It's good enough for Barrett.
Exactly. Yeah. Cheesy crumpets. I'd go with cheesy crumpets over peanut butter, but I can cope.
I did try. After hearing Barrett's interview, I tried cheese. Wasn't the same as peanut butter.
Oh, cheesy crumpets in the bath after a long run. Can't beat it. Okay, right. My next question for you is about mileage. So tonight I've just been out for my run and I've just hit my 2,000 mile mark for the year. So although I didn't set out to achieve this as a target, I am quite pleased that I feel like it's quite an achievement to get 2,000 miles under my belt. And I was just wondering, do you guys set a target for the number of miles that you'd like to hit each year? Or does it just depend on how the year goes? And I'm specifically interested in this because I had a bit of a look on Strava and I see that there's a massive difference between your Strava miles for this year. So if I just read your figures, so Callum, you were on 1,438. And then Sean, 3,311, and Dave, quite close, 3,325. So Sean and Dave, you're like 2,000 miles more than Callum. So I was just wondering, like, say, is it a target that you set yourselves, or there's quite a difference there? How do you explain that? Don't know if Sean, okay. You want to have a go?
Yeah, I mean, I can talk for myself. I think, Callum, you've had some injuries this year, haven't you, which haven't helped, I think. I don't really set myself a mileage goal. I do have like a weekly sort of goal in mind when I'm training. So I tend to plan my year out in marathon blocks. So from January into the spring, then I'll run some quicker stuff in the summer, and then I'll train up to an autumn marathon. And generally I'm running 70 to 95 miles a week during a marathon block. And when I'm not training in a marathon at the minute, I'm probably doing about 60 to 70 miles a week. So it just generally does give me just over 3,000 miles a year, that normally. But I don't really set a goal on the mileage. It's more hitting
certain.
Yeah, how it works out. Yeah. I do. I'm definitely a volume runner though. If I'm running 60 to 70 miles a week, I always feel that's when I feel at my best, really. I couldn't run like some people can, where they can do 20, 30 mile weeks and then go and run really quick 10K times. That just wouldn't work for me, that.
Thanks. And Dave, so your mileage is quite similar to Sean's as well. So again, is that similar? Does it just see what happens, or do you plan it?
I never set out at the start of a year with a yearly mileage target. Like Sean, I have a pretty good idea of what I want to hit in a given week. And I guess it's just a question of consistency. You tick those weeks off one after another, you get the consistency. You know, so a sweet spot for me, I'd say, was probably a little bit up on Sean's, maybe 75, 80 mile a week. That's probably about my sweet spot nowadays. And it just adds up over the course of a year. Yeah. You're going to get down weeks, of course. You're going to get weeks where you might have an injury, or where you're ill, or so something that's caused you to run on. You might be racing more regularly and need to ease down more regularly. But actually, this year, I'm actually up on previous years. I think that was helped by the lockdown earlier in the year when I was at home and not working, and I was doing a lot more miles, just building a bit of a base, and fewer injuries. So, yeah, a little bit up on recent years this year. Okay.
Right, and Callum, then, so like I say, yours is quite a lot lower than the other guys. So that you go more for, you know, so, a different angle on it? Or
yeah, so I don't, like the others, I don't really have a specific target. Normally I set specific races. So I used to, in the earlier days when I started running, I used to just go, right, I want to do every single race going and then not really have a structure. But now I've started to get the structure in and build the mileage based on specific races. So base it on that. But I've been injured this year. So I got injured in February and then stopped running till round about, I'd probably say late June, early July. So I've been on the bike a lot more. Right. So I've just had a quick look and I'm on 728 miles for the bike, so 43 hours. And I've started to do a lot more cross training as well. So Monday and a Friday, I'll do some cross training and just try and get the heart rate up on the bike, and that takes away the impact.
So I think it just depends, doesn't it, on what you do. I think, like Dave and Sean, obviously, I think from what you've said, you just focus on a lot of running. Callum, you have been mixing it up a bit due to injury. And I know I did look at Gav's mileage as well, and Gav's mileage was kind of similar to yours, Callum. I know he works in the gym, doesn't he? And he does like quite a lot of gym work. So I wonder if that's because he, you know, he balances it out with like less running and gym work as well. So it was just interesting.
Yeah, but he had a bit of a lower mileage here, Gav, I think, hasn't he, with one or two injuries. He was a bit poorly as well.
Yeah.
I don't think he's not really been racing, so he's probably not quite had the mileage you would normally get in. I mean, talking through me, not here, but looking at his Strava, you can see previous years he's higher volume.
Okay, so if you could go for a training run with anyone, who would it be and why? Alan, do you want to start?
I think in the local area, we're quite spoilt with talent. We've got a WhatsApp group that's got some incredible talent on there. And now I'm training at East Cheshire as well, getting to train with some really good lads. If I had to pick one or two, it sounds a bit cheesy this, but I'd probably do a training session with Gav or Dave. I've never done a training session with them. Just to be able to, well, I'll definitely be chasing them. But I thought that'd be quite a good one. As for Sean, I've already been there and done that. So,
you know, when we come to my answer, that's something that'll probably never ever happen. But with you, we can definitely make that happen, Callum.
Fantastic.
Sean,
I was going to say one from the past, really. I think probably Ron Hill. Just to asking questions, really. I think one thing, whenever I see interviews with Ron, and particularly one Dave did, he's very direct in his answers and very quite old school as well. And he's got a very tough racing mentality. And that's something I struggle with, actually. I get a little bit anxiety sometimes in racing, and sometimes that spoils the race for me. Whereas he was super confident, I think. That's certainly why I see him anyway. So it'd just be great to talk to somebody like that. He's raced at that level and such a legend, and somebody who's, you know, ran the whole life as well, you know what I mean? Because I'll be 45 at Christmas, and he managed to keep himself motivated all that time, you know.
Yeah,
that's something absolutely that concerns me a bit when I think, oh, God, I'm going to be, I'll be 50, then I'll be 55. But it didn't seem to stop Ron, did it?
I think that's a great answer. I think it'd be Ron would be a great person to have gone on a run with, definitely.
When Dave did that interview, I sent a question. I can't remember the specific wording of it, but basically said, if in your prime, who would you race with? And I think I worded it wrong. And like you said, he was very, very forward with his answer. And I thought, oh, bloody hell, I've upset him here. So I think I'll have to dig that out and try and find that.
Dave, anything else for you to add? Who'd you like to go running with, apart from Callum, obviously?
Yeah, the guy I'd like to go running with, and I say it'll probably never happen, but he's actually stayed at my house before. Chris Thompson, the winner of the British Olympic Marathon Trials this year. Really, really inspirational guy. He's in his 40s now. He ran 2 hours 10 minutes to win the trial race at the down in Kew Gardens earlier in the year, has battled through countless injuries over the years. Many people have written him off time after time, and yet he continued to defy the odds, come back and perform at a level he was at previously, if not better. And he's just such an affable guy as well. Like, if you listen to him talk, you know, very down to earth, very modest. In his interview after the marathon trial win, it wasn't about himself. It was all about his wife and how she'd given birth that week and how she'd been amazing. And you know, he wasn't sure if he was going to race because of it. And you know, he could have talked and bigged himself up, but it wasn't that at all. He's just down to earth guy and very entertaining as well. So yeah, I think I could quite happily go and run for 2 or 3 hours with Chris and just pick his brains about his achievements, his stories, and just have a laugh, because he just seems an entertaining guy.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, so moving on, if you could invite anyone anywhere in the running community to be interviewed on the pod, who would it be and what would you like to ask them and why? Want to start us off, Sean?
That's a really good question.
So a bit different than going on a run, actually get them on the pod, and what is it that you'd be really keen to ask them and why?
Yeah, I was thinking about this. For me, it'd be going back to that, what I just touched on with that vet sort of runner, because I come into the sport late, still think I can improve, and veteran runners really do inspire me when I see some of the times they put in. So somebody like Graham Green would be good to talk to, I think. He's a really good vet 55. Martin Green over at North Wales. He's again a very, you know, it's a 2:30 marathon runner, sub 2:30 marathon runner. What's Jonathan's second name, Dave, who won the Vet 50 at London?
Jonathan. You're thinking of Jonathan Walton.
Yeah, another one. I just watch his, he's got a YouTube channel, which his brother does really in the main, but just the training these guys put in and the times are putting out, just awesome, you know. So I'd really love to just speak to somebody like that and ask some questions about modifying the training as you get older and how you get the best out of yourselves at, you know, and outrun most people younger than them. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, Dave?
Well, I'm going to flip it on its head and repeat Sean's answer of earlier. I think we really missed a trick not getting Ron on the podcast before he sadly passed away. Yeah, obviously we got Mike on, and he paid a great tribute to Ron. Yeah, obviously he wasn't in the best of health when we started the podcast, so we knew it'd be difficult to get him on. But yeah, he is the Tameside running legend, if not the global running legend. So we really missed out not being able to get Ron on, but obviously it just wasn't to be. So yeah, I'd have liked to have got Ron on, and that's what we'd like to ask them. I think we could just be on to Ron all day. We could probably do a whole series on Ron, to be honest, because
absolutely,
you know, he had that many great stories to tell. You know, you could do a Tour of Tameside episode alone with Ron, a marathon episode with Ron. It just goes on and on and on.
Yeah, it'd be amazing, wouldn't it? To
it would have been amazing. To, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Thanks, Dave. Callum.
So we spoke about, well, we messaged on the group about like lists of guests, and we've got a bit of a wish list going. And I'd say I want to keep it local, and I'd like to speak to Ryan from Striders. So I worked with Ryan at JD Sports when I was about 16. Then I rocked up and saw him and I thought, I recognise him. Where do I recognise him from? And having a chat with him, realising that he's had a big change in lifestyle as well.
Yeah.
I'd like to know his story and the way that started to progress, and obviously how the hell he gets to run when he's got, I think he's got three kids. Is it three kids, yeah, or four kids? And I'm like, he's non-stop. He's constant with work. So yeah, I'd like to know how he gets all that in. And he's a good character, I remember.
Yeah, he is. Ryan would be a great person to have on the pod. And he is very inspirational. I've heard his story and kind of where he's come from. So I won't share that on here now, but yeah, I think it would be a great person to have on, and he is very, very inspirational. So yeah, good choice. Okay, so in the last episode, I think it was Nigel mentioned about tactics that can be used to get people through runs. I think he mentioned like Paula Radcliffe counting. And I'm just wondering if any of you use any specific techniques like this that you can perhaps recommend. What do you do that kind of gets you through those runs when the going gets tough? Sean, I can see you smiling.
Oh, loads of different games I play with myself, I suppose. I don't count... you know, in the marathon, I'm just counting down, really. So I go sort of just think, right, just get the first 10K done. And then once you're into 20, you can start thinking of a 20-mile run that you do. Think, right, I'm just on my 20-miler now. And, you know, in your last 10 miles, you think, come on, I do 10 mile on a 30 morning. You can, surely you can get through this. And then just thinking back as well to the training I've done. So, you know, in shorter races where you're running harder, I tend to just think back to, you know, come on, it's just a mile rep to do on the track or something like that, and trying to keep your form right. So I am always doing that. I never run with music on. I don't like running with music on. I do like to clear mind so I can do that. Yeah, just all those sort of tactics really to try and wish the race down, I suppose.
yeah. So kind of mental tactics, just whatever you can to try and focus.
Yeah.
Fab. Dave, what about yourself?
Similar to Sean, really. I'd always try and get to halfway, and then from halfway I would count down.
Right.
So whether that was at a marathon, I'd get to the halfway distance and then I'd be counting down backwards. In track races, so track 10K is one that I used to do quite regularly. That was 25 laps. Which is a bit of a mental brain freeze. So, I used to basically make sure, because basically every time you finish a lap, you run past the lap scoring board. Right. The worst thing you can do in the first few laps is look at the lap scoring board.
Yeah.
If you see 24 laps to go, 23 laps to go, it's going to completely destroy you mentally. So yeah. I always had this thing in a 10,000 on the track, or a 10K as you might know it. Don't look at the lap counter for the first half. Make sure you do not look at it in the first half. And then once you've got to halfway, you can then start counting down, which mentally is a lot, lot easier.
Yeah.
The other one was in the marathon at London, you get a water station every mile. And what I found was quite good, because I tend to overheat quite easily. I would get a bottle of water at every single station, and I would take a swig of it, put a little bit on my head and a little bit on my shoulders, and then basically then count down to the next one.
The next one.
Because I was running like sort of 5:25, 30 miles when I was doing those marathons. You'd sort of do that exercise and then you think, right, well, it's 5 minutes till the next one. So it was almost like a process and a routine you got into. And you just were like, right, well, it's just another 5 minutes till I do the same thing again. And mentally, it might sound crazy, but mentally, it made things quite easy mentally. And then also made it easy to manage my body temperature as well.
Yeah. Good answer. Thanks. Alan?
I'm going to go for the Dave Norman trick. get to halfway and then count down. Try and only count in single figures. So usually if I'm doing hill reps and I've got 12 to do, and I get to about four or five, I'll be thinking, oh no, there's 7, 8 more to do. But then as soon as you hit 6, start counting down, I've only got 6 more to do, I'm over halfway. So when you've got that, I'm over halfway, in your mind you're thinking, well, I've already done one half, I'm surely I can do the rest. So Dave's trick that he sent me when I did my first marathon.
I think another one that I've used before, which is quite good, is if you're struggling, think in terms of minutes rather than distance, because that's so much easier to get your head around. So, for example, like if I would get to 20 miles in a marathon, it would probably take me about what to do the last 10K, probably 33, 34 minutes. But instead of thinking of it as 10K, think of it as 33, 34 minutes, because it doesn't sound as far, because
as bad.
You go out for a 33, 34 minute run.
Yeah.
It doesn't really feel like a lot. So, yeah, think of it in terms of time is a good tip as well.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? It's just interesting what different people do to get them through. You'd think we were being tortured or something, though. You know, these tactics that we have to use to get us through. I mean, it's supposed to be enjoying it, aren't we?
I definitely won't be counting my steps anyway. That's the one thing.
Oh, gosh, can you imagine?
No. Do.
Crikey. Okay, right. I've got a question specifically for you now, Callum. So the infamous shoe question. So I've seen from Strava recently that you've been having some conversations about the Nike Pegasus 38s and Nike Invincibles. And also in the last episode, you talked about your new 10K PB where you wore your new Box Fresh Nike Vaporflies. So the big question is, have you been converted to a Nike trainer, man? And can you give us a quick review of the three shoes that I've mentioned?
So I'm not fully converted yet. So I originally bought the Invincibles for comfort, and they do more than tick that box for me. They definitely help with injury. But I felt like Sean's holding a pair up. He's got them stashed there right next to him, carries them around. But I found that my form was getting lazy when I was wearing them because I was constantly heel striking, looked at the bottom of the shoe and noticed that they started to wear a lot more on the heel on the outside. So I do like them for easy days, but I've started to try and wean myself off them. The Peg 38s I got on offer, really like them. They're nice and light. Last night I did 8 miles in them, but I feel like my feet had gone for a real pounding in them. So just today that I felt all right. I did a tempo today, so I'm not injured, but just felt a little bit more, a bit firmer. As for Vaporflies, they're brilliant. Really like them, but I'm going to see how hard I can go at Ribble. And see how they fare. But I have got Adidas Terex Pro SG for grass sessions, which I think they're 225s. They're so light, dead comfy, loads of holes in them, so they drain really quickly. So, yeah. For me, I'm not converted yet, but
quite.
We're getting there.
Oh, that's good to know. I think I said before, I'm a Nike girl through and through. I don't wear anything else. And Pegasus have always been the shoes for me, but I've not had a pair of Vaporflies yet, but I'm thinking maybe I might have to treat myself or maybe hope that there might be a pair under the Christmas tree.
Yeah, there's a couple of lads. I think Mike Harris and Matt Dickinson have both said that they've got the Invincibles and they're not liking them. So I've said that if they're the same size as me, they can give me a shout. Size 9.
Yeah, they're just the easy day shoes, aren't they? You can't run quicker. They're awful to run fast in. You try and run quick in them. But they're definitely, for me anyway, just when I run easy in them, it just feels like I've had a day off.
Yeah, I did 14 miles in them last Saturday, I think it was. Yeah, last Saturday. And yeah, I was just went out on the lash straight after. So legs weren't sore or anything. But
your head was the next day.
Yeah. So a pre going out shoe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent.
Not heels though.
No. Yeah, not to be confused. Okay, finally from me. So I see that both Callum and Sean, you often take pictures of your kit and lay them out on social media before a race. I'm just wondering, is this some sort of superstition or like ritual that you have? And Dave, do you have any sort of superstitions and rituals that you have, you know, that you must do before a run or a race, for example?
Well,
Callum, do you want to start us off?
I only started doing it because I saw Sean do it. I'm gonna say that, but when I did Great North Run, I did Great North Run. I did a picture for the summer Wilmslow 10K, and that's because we had the Local Runners podcast top. And then I did it for the festive 10K. I'm pretty sure I'll do one on Boxing Day for Ribble. It's not a superstition. I don't think I have any superstitions for race day. But no, just did it because Sean did it.
Oh, you want to be like Sean. Nice, Sean.
There you go. This is awesome.
Even started wearing my cap backwards for a bit. I got the same haircut as him and everything.
you just say it's mandatory, isn't it, before a race. You just see everyone else doing it. So yeah, I don't think I do it for every race. So obviously, like a race like last weekend, I didn't do it. But you know, big races like probably London for me, it's just mandatory. And to be honest, the day before as well, I'm a bit anxious. So just to get everything organised, so I know I've got everything, just helps me sleep. Because if I don't do that, I'll be lying in bed thinking, oh, did I put my gels with my kit? Did I put my socks in my trainers? Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's kind of, yeah, what happens. It goes back to that anxiety I was talking about, really. So I think it just helps me be a bit organised.
Yeah, feel a bit more prepared.
Yeah.
Dave, do you have any superstitions or anything?
I think we all do, don't we? We all have little idiosyncrasies we'll do in our preparation. So, yeah, a few little things, really. It's just what time I'd start warming up before a race. So I'd always aim for 45 minutes before the start of a race. I think that's quite key for me. I'd always try and do 2 miles. I wouldn't get hung up if it ended up being 2.5. Always do some strides and some stretching. People laugh at me because I put this heat rub on, which it's just... I've started doing it a bit more now because I had a few problems with calf tears over recent years, and it seems to have helped. I've not had any problems in recent times. And one other thing I always do is, regardless of the distance, I will always have a gel before the start of a race.
Really?
So even if it's a 5K, I will, yeah. And whether it's just a mental thing or not, I don't know, but that's something I always do. Yeah. Just mentally, I feel like, yeah, I'm not going to crash and burn here. I feel ready to go.
John and Callum, do you do that? Have a gel before a race, even a short race?
No, I don't even have breakfast before a 5K normally. Yeah, Friday been sick, I think.
No, I've not really got into gels yet. I trained on shot blocks for my marathon.
Oh yeah.
And they didn't work, so gels is a thing for the list for next year to start training with.
Interesting though, isn't it? I think it's as much psychological, isn't it, as you said, Dave, as you know, as anything else.
Definitely. And park runs, they're too early for me. I'll never get up and have breakfast before a park run, so it's always a gel if I do a park run.
Yeah.
Roll out of bed, have a gel and warm up.
Okay, over to the listener questions. So let's start with a great question in from Justin Johnson of Hyde Village Striders. So Justin has said, in the time that I've been running, I've noticed some of you absolutely smash a park run or a race, but then look disappointed with the time or write on Strava that it's not where you want to be. As a fairly new runner, I'm still always happy to just finish any race or a park run, especially because I'm still regularly hitting PBs. So when you're at the level you lads are, does it sometimes become harder to find enjoyment in running if you're not always smashing out PBs? And if so, how do you maintain the motivation? And do you sometimes have to remind yourself that it's all about enjoying it, or does the competitive side always take over?
Yeah, well, it's a long, long time since I ran a PB, so I'm probably a good person to start with. I think when I got to that point where I realised I wasn't going to run any more PBs, that's more of an age thing. I just really had to reevaluate. So one of the first things I did was reset my PBs as a vet, and I treat all my races now. I would rather than thinking in terms of PBs, I would think in terms of a vet PB. But even then, that can still be somewhat of a challenge. So for me, it's more a question of looking for progress from race to race. I think that's ultimately the really important thing. I think I referenced it earlier when we're comparing the two cross-country leagues I've done so far, that the main thing for me there was to improve on the first one, which I did. I mean, obviously we're all competitive, so the competitive side is always likely to come to the fore. But I think, yeah, you've got to enjoy your running. You've got to enjoy your running. Otherwise, it's just... You're not going to be able to perform at the level you want if you're not enjoying it. So I think ultimately it'll always come back to, right, if you're not enjoying it, well, you know, kind of reset,
Yeah.
Start doing some of the things in training that you do enjoy.
Yeah.
And then you know the performances, you know, tend to come back then.
Yeah. I think it's good that's what you've said in terms of giving yourself like a different measure into, I suppose, at different stages in your career. So like you say, you've accepted that you've maybe hit your PBs now. So you've got to look at what other kind of measure can be a measure of success for you, and maybe whether that is within the vet categories or like looking at your performance in a different way.
Yeah. And I think we talked about it in a previous episode. Goal setting before a race is really important. You know, mm-hmm. you need to be stood on the start line knowing what you want to achieve from that race. I think that was a discussion out with you, wasn't it, Sean, on one of the episodes?
Yeah, I think it was in the marathon, wasn't it? The marathon episode. Yeah.
What about you, Sean? You've had a number of PBs recently, haven't you? So
yeah, it's a really good question, this. It really got me thinking. You know, and I had a bit of a sticky start to the year, really, where I just couldn't seem to get my form right. I couldn't seem to get my running right, and as the year's gone on, it's got better, and I just enjoy running more when I'm running well, and it doesn't necessarily mm-hmm. always transpire into PBs. You just know when you've had a good run, I suppose. You felt good throughout, and it's all relative as well, I think, you know, because I guess I think when I look at runners, you know, because I'm an average runner, really. You know, you look at some of the runners, the times that they're putting in, unbelievable times, you know, all the way up through the vet categories. And I probably think the same about them. And equally for Justin, people will be looking at his times and thinking the same as well, thinking, how does he motivate himself? Because he's running times that I wish I could run. So it's all relative to the individual. So you've just got to focus on what your goal is for yourself personally, you know, and I think we've talked a lot about that, really. And as long as I feel like I'm running well, and I'm happy, and I don't know what you guys are like, but when I do run well, and I'm absolutely buzzing, I can't sleep that night, you know, and I finished a race and you've had a good run, you sort of, and you just can't sort of seem to come down from that elevated feeling that you get from having a great race somewhere. I just love that. You know, what about you, Cal? That's an interesting question, isn't it?
Yeah, I think for me, it's more of a knowing where I should be. So if I go and do a park run like I did one last week or the week before, and I dipped under 20 minutes, that was an aim for me at Stanford to try and get as close to 19:30. Or at least under 20 minutes. So like you guys, it's just seeing how you're progressing. If I see my trainings going wrong, I won't, obviously, the time that I get, I won't be happy with. So maybe it's time to reassess the way that my training's going and see how that's working out. I'm a little bit younger than you two. No vet categories just yet. But no, I think motivation for me comes from knowing if I can get a PB in one distance, like I did at a 10K, the others should kind of follow suit. I think I've got unfinished business with the half marathon and the 5K for me at the moment. And then later in the year, hopefully the marathon.
Fab. Okay, thank you. All right, so we've got a question in from Mark Boosie now of Daddy's Escape, or more recently Stockport Harriers. So if you had one running wish to come true in 2022, what would it be?
Win a race.
Any race?
Oh, I'm never going to win a race. I'd probably say
never
win a race.
Never.
I'd probably say win a race or getting a team trophy, like at a relay. But I think in reality, a wish that might actually come true is to get, for me this year, is to get to London in good shape. I think I've learned a lot over the last 2 years for the marathon build-up that I had when I did the virtual, and then the training and the advice that I've been able to get from Salford when I was there and at East Cheshire now, and then with all the lads on the group as well. That for me.
Brilliant. John?
Yeah, I think Callum can win a race if he gets himself in good shape. And you know,
what do you mean? What do you mean? Get myself in good shape?
I think there's more to come from you yet. And I think East Cheshire have got a really good shout at the team prize at the tour next year. looking at the way the shaping up. So, yeah, might come true that, mate. For me, just that, you know, what I've been trying to do, Katie, over the last couple of years, sub 2:40 in the marathon. That's what I want. So 2:38. Take that.
Absolutely. That'd be my, I can see that coming.
Yeah.
Dave?
For me, my priority is to stay injury-free. And the other thing I'd like to do is, we just talked about vet PBs. I'd like to run at least one vet PB. That'd be really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Great answers. I think staying injury-free is a wish for everybody, isn't it, for 2020.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great answer, if we could have anything. Okay, now we've got a question in from another Dave Norman via Instagram. So the question is, how do you fit Christmas in during such a busy training period? Dave?
Christmas, it's such an inconvenience, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Christmas Day for many of us, it's a family day. But I'd always start Christmas off with Christmas morning off with a run. Tradition for me was usually to get out and do a Christmas Day run from my parents' house with my brother. You know, retrace some of our old running routes from when we lived at home. Nowadays with park run, in recent years we've done a Christmas Day park run, so not really sure what the plan is for this year yet, but it'll be one or the other. For me, I actually find it easier to get the training in over Christmas because I've got a little bit more time off work with the extra days off. So yeah, just usually the Christmas weeks are actually, I end up getting a bit more mileage in, which is essential for me at that time of year, because that's the time when I like to ramp things up ready for the those longer cross country races that come at the end of January and into February with the Northern and National Championships.
Yeah, great. You just touched on there, Dave. You said about Christmas Day park run. So, which local, just for listeners, what local park runs do a Christmas Day park run? Do you know?
It does vary from year to year, and you does need it? To check the website.
Right.
So I've not yet done that for this year, but in recent years I've done Marple on Christmas Day. I've done South Manchester on Christmas Day, and I've also done Worsley Woods on Christmas Day. So, yeah,
I think I've seen on Facebook that Stamford Park are doing one this year. I think it's the first one that they've
done. Brilliant.
So, yeah,
Hyde are as well. Hyde Park runs on.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay, so Sean, how do you fit in Christmas?
Well, I'm the opposite today. If my mileage drops off over Christmas, so I just don't, I suppose. I do a will run Christmas Day and Boxing Day is my birthday, by the way. So yeah, it's probably only in 5k, 4 miles, something like that. So I just don't quite get the mileage in. Then every year we always go up to the lakes at New Year for a bit of walking and maybe the odd hoppy golden ale. So my mileage probably just goes down to quite a bit less really. Then I pick it up again in January.
You don't struggle to fit Christmas in, really?
No.
Callum, do you have any problems?
No, I'm not usually allowed to run on Christmas Day. so the only Strava I think I'll be able to upload is building Christmas presents, which I don't think they have a workout for that yet. so my day will consist of building presents one after the other with the kids. But no, I think Christmas Day off, might run a little bit on Boxing Day, then Ribble Valley on the Monday, and then I go to Wales for I think just less than a week with the family. So hopefully get some running in there. But that's about it really for me.
Fab. Okay. Thanks, guys.
One thing I see a lot of people doing on Strava on Christmas Day, and I cannot understand how they do it, is they'll do a double day. So they'll do a second run after Christmas dinner.
Wow. Oh, I couldn't run after a Christmas dinner.
I couldn't run after a Christmas dinner.
Not after that Christmas pudding and all them sprouts. Okay. All right. Moving on. So we've got a question from Alan Cook from East Cheshire Harriers. So he said, this is a question specifically for Callum. So he said, after joining East Cheshire Harriers, you went on to achieve a 10k PB at the Wilmslow 10k, along with many members of Glen Piper's group. Do you think the transfer from your old club and the sessions at East Cheshire Harrier had an impact on this? And if you could bring anything from your old club to East Cheshire Harriers, what would it be and why?
Talk about being put on the spot.
Sorry, Callum.
So one thing was at Salford, I only trained with them for 5 months. I was working this out the other day. So before lockdown came in, I was only training with them for about 5 months. But one thing that Salford did do very well was the communications. So they used an app called Spond, and they still do. And it's really good. I've recommended it to Hayley for East Cheshire. So each month, Huddo would post the sessions on for people. So anyone that couldn't make it, you automatically had that structure for the month. And you couldn't get out of just cutting a session short or not putting the effort in. So that's one thing I'd bring in, is the communication for East Cheshire Harriers. So hopefully that app can start getting used. And then as for what's impacted me getting the 10K PB, I'm still putting a lot down to the shoes. Some people might disagree, but I can't believe how good I felt on the day. I don't know whether that was because pressure was off, because I weren't going for a PB. I weren't putting much pressure on myself. I only got the number the day before. But I think the grass sessions, they're definitely helping. And I'm looking forward to actually having a proper test at Brass Monkey Half. That's the goal race. I know we've got Ribble, but I'm not going into Ribble looking to completely kill myself for another PB. I want to make sure that the Brass Monkey Half's the one to go for.
Great. Thanks, Colin. Okay, so if it's all down to shoes, then Vaporflies are definitely on my wish list. Okay, so I've got a couple of quick fire questions that have come in from Abigail Chloe, who's an unattached runner on Facebook. So she said, trail or road? John?
Road.
Dave?
Trails.
Alan?
Trails, because there'll be more hills and I need to do more hills.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm with Callum and Dave, trail all the way. Sean, do you not find just road running gets boring?
Not in the slightest.
Good job, we're all different, isn't it? Distance or speed, Sean?
Yeah, distance.
Dave? Yeah.
Distance.
Callum?
Speed.
Interesting. So, Callum, you'd rather go shorter in speed, would you?
Yeah. I'm really enjoying speed sessions. But one thing I was looking at was like putting a tempo into the middle of a long run. So, right. Could have both.
Flat or hills, Callum?
I'm going to go hills again because I need to do them.
Can't beat the hills. Dave?
Hills all the way.
Sean?
Yeah, hills. I'd say my favourite kind of race is an undulating road race.
Yeah, you can't really say anything other than the hills living in Tameside, can we? You can't go anywhere and do a flat run around here, so you've got to love the hills, haven't you?
Although I think you did say, Sean, that you love getting into a rhythm on the canal, on the flat.
Yeah, I do. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love road. That's why I like road running, really, because I just do like the... you know, pace and watching my pace and everything. And that goes when you're running the trails to a degree, doesn't it? And that's what it's all about. And I see that a lot when people talk about it, and that's great. But what I enjoy about running is hitting those splits and getting that consistency. That's what I enjoy about it.
Okay, I think we touched on this a little bit, but Adidas or Nike? Dave?
Nike.
John?
Yeah. Easy one for me, that, isn't it? Nike.
Oh, come on, Callum. What are you going to say now?
Nike Das.
Nike Das.
Nike Das.
I like it.
I have to try one each at Ribble.
Oh, just imagine.
Yeah. We're sitting on the fence on that one.
Yeah.
Okay, and finally, she's asked solo or group. Dave?
Group.
Callum?
Group.
John?
Yeah, group, definitely.
Yeah, how good was that run we did on the Fallowfield loop, guys?
Yeah, really good. Good, really enjoyed that.
Yeah. Really good.
I don't think you can beat a good group run, can you? Okay, so some questions in from Andy Sykes now from Daddy's Escape and a new East Cheshire Harrier runners, I think, isn't he? So, again, I think we touched on this. He said, who's running on Christmas Day? I think you've all said, haven't you, that you'll all do something on Christmas
Callum
Day.
Callum can't.
No, I won't be allowed.
Oh, sorry, yeah, Callum will too be building. Busy. Callum will be busy burning calories building.
Yep. If you do, you're going to have to mark it as private on Strava.
Yeah.
Get up in the middle of the night, Cal. Get it done at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
No chance.
Okay, so in answer to that, Callum won't be running. Sean and Dave will. Okay, question for you specifically, Sean. So you often mention that when running in a big event, you're usually in a group of similar ability runners. Do you ever chat to the guys that you're running around with? And if you do, what do you talk about?
Yeah, don't talk much really, because you sort of obviously working quite hard, aren't you? But I generally just talking mostly about the run and the pace we're doing. Sometimes I remember it when I ran the Cheshire race, I was getting a bit bossy with the group I was in because they kept dropping really quick splits every now and again. We'd put in a 5:50, and I was like, "What's going on here, guys? What are we supposed to be running?" You know, so I was trying to. I was trying to coordinate that unsuccessfully, and I paid a heavy price for those mistakes on the day. And now and again, I'll just try and have a bit of a laugh if I can, you know, about whatever, really. I know when I was running the Antrim Coast, there's a picture of me there laughing away at the front of that group when we're running quite quick. And, yeah, I was just having a laugh with the group I was in, because what they did in that race, they allowed some runners to go off maybe an hour or 2 hours sooner, because they
were... Sorry,
yeah, they were running, they will have been running probably three and a half hour marathon or something like that. So as we're running up the front of the coast, quite, there's a little old lady running down the other side on the way back. So blimey, the winner looks in good nick there, doesn't she move along? Just seemed funny at the time, but yeah, it just helps sometimes to tick a bit of the time away. Yeah, so I try not to, though. I try to keep me, save me oxygen.
Yeah, it's nice to have a bit of a chat though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, another question for you, specifically, Sean. So Andy said that you and Mark Collier look like you've been quite closely matched over the second half of this year. Are you challenging each other to push that bit more?
Yeah, I suppose we are, really. Me and Mark train together quite a lot as well. So we're actually not too dissimilar this pace-wise, I think. Probably, well, which, you know, we train very similar, but I'll probably say we race differently. Mark races quite hard. When he races, he goes out harder. I go out a little bit easier, and then try and catch him, spend the rest of the race trying to catch Mark. But yeah, definitely. I mean, when I was talking before about runners that inspire you, Mark is one of them for me as well. He's about the same age as me, Mark, maybe only a year or two older, but when I look, he's still improving now, and he's just run a PB in the 10K. And I think he'll run quicker in Ribble if he has a good, you know, I think it's all set up for him, really. So, yeah, it's good, and we do push each other a little bit, really. Often we travel down to races together as well and talk tactics like you do, yeah. Yeah.
Good. And is he still running every day, Mark?
He's still on
the running streak.
He's done over 4 years now, running every single
amazing,
day.
Isn't it?
Unbelievable, yeah. Great when we had him on. If you've not listened to that podcast, have a listen, because he's had some close calls where he's nearly not run for whatever reason, but he's managed to keep it going. So, yeah, good luck to him with that.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, so a question for all of you, again from Andy. So who from our local talent pool in the area are you looking forward to seeing tackle events in 2022? Andy says, I've just seen Ash Buckley do a top job at the Stockport 10-miler. So outside of Dave Barrett, he said he's the one for me. So who are you guys looking forward to seeing? Dave?
For me, it'd be the man himself, Dave Barrett. He's gone from strength to strength this last couple of years since he came back to running. He ran the Manchester Marathon in October, finished very well up, didn't quite achieve his sub 220 target, but I don't think he achieved what he's capable of there. So I think there's plenty more to come from Dave Barrett in 2022. So excited to see how he gets on.
What did he finish, Dave? Was it third at Manchester?
I think he was third, yeah, third in around 2 hours 22, but right. he was doing training runs faster than that, long training runs. So yeah. I think there's definitely a lot more to come from him.
Yeah, one to watch. Yeah, Callum.
I'm gonna say a few. So I think Dan Armstrong. I think he did really well in the tour. I think with more structure that he's getting now. He's training with East Cheshire. I think he's putting his forms in. I think it would be good to see him improve. Be good to see Callum Rawlinson back from injury. And then I'm going to say Gav as well. When he gets back into it,
yeah.
I think it'll be really good to see him hitting some of the local races again.
Fab. Sean, who do you like to see?
I totally agree with everything the two lads have said there. I would have said the same names. I think the only one not on that list there, I agree with Gav as well, it'd be great to see Gav back, will be Carl Hardman. You know, see Carl getting back on it, and he mentioned some of the goals he's got for the future, and that'd be good to see Carl back on it next year.
Yeah. Great. Okay, so last question from Andy Sykes. He said, any plans for a local runners pod race or event further down the line? I think someone else asked this earlier, actually. Mm. So yeah, any plans for that?
I wouldn't have a clue how to organise that. I struggle to even organise myself to take part in races.
If only
step
we
step up now you've got a podcast, Sean.
If only we had someone that knew how to organise races. You know what? I wonder who we could ask.
Liz Mason, Mike Mason,
Dave Norman.
Keeping a low profile here.
So is that something that you might think about, guys, or have you not thought about it yet?
Possibly, yeah, possibly. Our priority this year has been getting the podcast going and just getting it going from strength to strength. And at the moment, we're just really excited for season two. That's where our priorities are at the moment.
Yeah.
And what I would say on that is, I mean, Callum will know this more than any of us, really. But the work that goes into the podcast, actually, it's quite more than you might think, actually. And it, you know, even if it's just things like organising and learning the what we're going to be talking about and planning the times so we can all get together, which is not easy because four of us will work and stuff like that. No, I can't imagine what it's like planning a race as a day.
Yeah,
maybe like somewhere off road would be the easiest option, wouldn't it?
It definitely would. That'd be the way forward, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe resurrect one of the defunct races. There's been some good ones in the local area over the years. If no one's planning to reorganise them, the one that springs to mind is that Dennis the Menace race. That was a cracking race.
I was just thinking that. That was one of my first races.
Stride Through the Woods still exist.
Yeah.
That's another one. It's not happened for a few years.
Mike and Liz said that they wanted to get that going for next year.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
A Millbrook Monster. That's another good local one, isn't it?
Yeah.
You said you'd run that, okay. Katie, instead of marshalling it. You said you'd run that instead of marshalling it as well.
Well, I will do next time it's on. I will. I'll run it. Okay, so maybe a podcast run event further down the line. Okay, so Andy's just signed off to say thanks as always, guys. Keep up the great work and enjoy a great Christmas. And finally, the last question for the episode has come in from Hayley Simpson from East Cheshire Harriers. So she said, I've absolutely loved listening to the podcast. Thanks so much for asking me to be a guest. So her question to you guys is, what are your goals for 2022? And have you any guests lined up for next year? I think we've kind of touched on those, but if you've got anything else to add, so what are your goals for 2022 and any guests that are lined up for next year? Callum?
Main one for me is the half in January and then London. I've got a couple of other races in between, but they're priority.
Sean?
Yeah, so Wrexham Marathon, which is a lot, it's another elite race. So I managed to get a place in that, and that's another chance for me to try and run sub 2:40. That's on April the 24th. And then going into the summit with the Tour of Tameside, obviously. I've got the Antrim Coast Half Marathon again, where I'm going to try and run sub 1:14. That'll be my goal there. And then it depends how it goes in Wrexham in terms of what my goal will be in Berlin. But I've got a place in the Berlin Marathon in the autumn. So really excited about that because I've been wanting to do that for a couple of years, but obviously COVID has scuppered that. So yeah, well, looking forward to that one. There's quite a few races sprinkled around it, but they're generally build up races, you know, I've put in.
Cool. Dave?
I think my main goal for 2022 is to continue to enjoy my running, stay injury free, and my priority race is going to be the Tour. That's the one I want to nail. That's the one I want to. I just like to be competitive because I was so inspired by being there and around the runners this year, and you know, there's some amazing performances up at the front, and I just like to be reasonably competitive. In it, yeah. So if I can get myself in the first five, like, I'll be over the moon.
That's brilliant. That's good to hear, Dave. Yeah, I think we're all looking forward to the Tour, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely look forward to the Tour. So
can't wait.
Great.
My birthday weekend, that as well, and Father's Day weekend.
No excuses, Callum. Get your vapor flies out.
As for guests, we've got a bit of a wish list on the go. So we've all come up with names that we would like to have as guests in the next series. So we can confirm that our first guest in season two is going to be, drum roll, Joe Bailey of Salford Harriers. So Joe's a really entertaining guy, great sense of humour. He's got some cracking times to his name, so he's going to be a really good guy to have on the pod. And yet many more we're looking at getting in touch with over the next few months. So yeah, massively looking forward to season two.
Yeah, just on that, we've had some really good suggestions in, haven't we, for guests. So we're going to obviously, you know, look into getting some of the names on that people have suggested as well. I think some race directors always seem to go well, and Nick Bishop had quite a lot of votes, didn't he, on the
He did.
So that's definitely worth us looking at. But yeah, looking forward to it.
Okay, now before we finish, we have a one-to-one interview with a man who has a love for sweet potato-based pizzas, apparently, from Papa John's. From what I'm told, he demolished two of these at the Carl Hardman recording. He's the Sale Harrier of the Local Runners podcast. Please welcome Gav Hill.
Hello. Feels strange being in this position.
It's good to have you with us. Okay, yeah. So I'm going to get straight stuck in, and I'm going to ask you the same questions that I asked the other lads, okay? So yeah. As I said previously to the others, that we feel it's important to get to know our guests. So aside from running, tell us something interesting about you that we might not know.
Ooh. I'm not sure if I may have give a short life story when we did the first episode. Something interesting.
Go on, there must be something.
My lucky number is, this is probably not interesting, it's probably more weird. Lucky number is, well, it's not lucky, it's my favourite number is 4. And sometimes if I'm running and I run on, say, off the curb for 3 steps, I'll have to do 1 more step to be even. It's not interesting. It's the first thing I can think of, but yeah, it's a bit weird, but there you go.
That is interesting. So we've got another question further on about superstition and ritual, so that might fit into there as well. But why the number 4? Where does that come from? What's the significance of 4?
Nothing. Can't tell you. Started as a kid.
Just random.
Yeah, just some sort of weird. I don't know.
Oh, that is interesting. There we go.
It is a bit weird, yeah. I can't figure out where it's come from, but I just know it turned up as a kid and never went away.
I like it. It's a good one. Okay. So now, obviously, we've got some food questions, all important food questions. So with all the festivities coming up, we need to know about, obviously, those foodie questions. So firstly, sprouts or no sprouts?
Sprouts.
Yes. How many sprouts are we having on Christmas dinner, Gav?
I don't know. We normally go around my mum and dad's, so whatever he gives me, but if Rachel, my wife, leaves any, I'm straight in there, which she normally does leave all of them. So, unlimited sprouts for me.
I like it. Fellow sprout lover.
Not with cheese on in the oven, though, like yourself.
Yeah, with tea tonight. Sprouts and grated cheese, can't beat it. You're not feeling that one?
I've never heard of that one. No.
You gotta try it.
I can't say I will try that.
maybe
if the fridge is empty and there's only cheese and sprouts, we'll give it a go.
Give it a whirl. Okie dokes. How many pigs in blankets will you be having on your Christmas dinner?
Oh, probably 4 or 5, maybe.
Yeah, 4 or 5 sounds good.
What's the average number?
I think similar. I think the others, if I remember rightly, said similar.
Right.
I think I said 6, I think.
Yeah.
I like my pigs and blankets.
You better do a double day that day then.
Yeah, I know. Best dad. Christmas pudding and mince pies for dessert or something more traditional?
Oh, no, not mince pies. I'm sorry. No. I'm not a big fan of Christmas pudding. Not for a dessert. That's something that you just eat before, maybe as a warm up.
Go on, what'd be your dessert then?
I do like a sticky toffee pudding with ice cream, me.
Mm.
Or some apple pie. I know that's like a general dessert.
Yeah.
But yeah. Probably that. Probably sticky toffee pudding with ice cream.
That sounds good, but I'd go sticky toffee pudding with custard.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. They normally have custard cream or ice cream, and then my mum normally says, so cold custard or warm custard? And we start getting technical, but yeah.
Yeah. Got to be warm custard if you're going custard.
Oh, yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okie dokies. And now, of utmost importance, what will be the festive tipple this year for you to wash all that food down with?
I'll never drink this any other time of the year, but I do like a couple of Baileys, to be honest.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, I like wine anyway, so probably a wine with the dinner, and then a Baileys after, and you know, a few beers, that sort of thing.
Sounds good. Yep. A few tipples then.
Oh, aye. Why not?
Why not? It's Christmas. Okay. Now some more serious running related questions, but the first one still revolves around food. So obviously we have some interesting kind of answers around this from previous guests. So I'm just interested in, what are your post-run cravings?
I think it depends on time of year. If you do say if we typically, people probably answered this question maybe after the Sunday run, because obviously you're getting in and it's still fairly early. Whereas opposed to if you're doing a night session, you might be a bit wary of what you're going to eat and drink before you go to bed. Mm-hmm. So in the past, I remember I did a 16-mile run down to Glossop and back. And it was a big week that week, going back a few years now. I remember having an ice bath when I got in and a pint of Guinness. So that day was obviously fancied a Guinness, probably an electrolyte as well with that.
Yeah.
But there's not really anything that normally you're looking. So say, for instance, if it's after a race, you're looking what they're in the race pack, wouldn't you? And you just slam down whatever's in there. But in the past, it used to be quite, when I was on it nutritionally, it used to be a banana and a protein shake after, or some milk after. But nowadays it's a bit more relaxed. So, yeah.
So no weird cravings like what we had in the last few weeks, some really odd things, haven't we? Like celery and an apple, cup of tea.
No.
None of those kind of things.
We used to do like a pot of Yorkshire. I was on a local group. We like a Yorkshire tea. Yorkshire. So yeah, normally a Yorkshire tea and stuff. But I don't mind beans on toast after a run, because you want something quick, don't you? You've got a window of opportunity of about half an hour. So beans on toast, which must be cooked in a pan, I must stress.
Not in a microwave.
Not a microwave, you've got
get rid of all that water. Yeah.
Yeah. Beans in a pan. Yeah, I'm with you. Good answer. Okay, so I've just recently hit my 2,000 miles for the year. And I didn't set out to achieve that as a target, but I feel quite pleased with it. Feel that that's quite an achievement for me.
Thank
you. I've done a bit of stalking on Strava. I looked at yourself and the other guys, and I noticed that you're around similar to Callum, about 1,500, whereas Sean and Dave are like 2,000 more like 3,500. So I was just wondering, do you kind of set a target for a specific number of miles each year, or do you just see what happens? It was just interesting because there's such a degree of like difference between you, so I was just wondering what that's about.
Well, this year's stats is not a typical year for me. I've been a right lazy get this year. So normally I wouldn't think about the year. I'd probably think about each week, and depending if I've got a race week, that would probably be a 50-mile week. And normally if I'm just on a normal training week, I'd be trying to hit upward towards 70 and above if possible. So whatever that got me at the end of the year, I didn't really focus on that.
Right.
I just focused on week by week.
Yeah.
And sort of took that approach.
Yeah. Okay. Okie dokies. So you've not got a target for next year. You'll just try and do more than this year. Is that a name?
Yeah, I've put a bit of timber on, and I'm at the stage now where I'm pulling my pant line above me. So yeah, I need to get back into it. I'm probably the heaviest I've been, but so the goal is next year just to get back running and try and get in shape. Yeah.
Okay, fab. Okay, and if you could go for a training run with anybody, who would it be and why?
Well, I thought about this because obviously I've had a quick check of the questions, and I thought it would be interesting to go on a run with, and probably The Rock, to be honest, because you know I was a big wrestling fan as a kid, and I still follow him. You know, obviously he's gone into movies now, and he's just a cool guy, and I reckon it'd be interesting that. So there you go. I don't know what the other lads have said, but someone's probably said Kipchoge. But I'm not sure. But
I think they all said quite local people, I think, if I remember correctly.
Well, they can just get a grip of them and go, can't they?
I know, exactly.
Well, I reckon The Rocky, because he's quite a character as well, isn't he?
Yeah, good answer, so that one. I like that, yeah. Somebody a bit different. Yeah. Okay. And moving on from that one, if you could invite anybody anywhere in the running community to be interviewed on the pod, who would it be? What would you like to ask them and why?
Are we talking globally or just UK?
Anybody, anywhere.
Probably Jacob Inger-Britson, because he seems to be the up and coming European, doesn't he, and stuff. So I think it'd be interesting to get him on and see what he's got to say. I think people like Kipchoge and stuff, you know, he's you know, I've probably seen tons of interviews and with him, but not so much with Jakob. So probably Inger-Britson.
And what would you like to ask him? Anything that's kind of specific?
Just about his running journey and his sort of approach to training, because I know they take sort of Bud Lactate on sessions, and it's quite thorough.
Yeah.
I think is it the dad that coaches all three of them? I might be wrong. I think so. So they're quite thorough at Bud Lactate levels and stuff. And obviously, you know, he's still a young lad, and he's right up there and stuff. So yeah, just probably find out what, just talk about the running journey, training, nutrition, motivation, you know, the usual stuff that you try and take some snippets off it, and, you know, and, yeah, probably him.
Good. Real great answer. Okay, so in the last episode, Nigel mentioned about tactics that can be used to get people through runs. Like I think he mentioned about Paula Radcliffe and accounting. And I was wondering if you use anything kind of specific to get you through any of your runs, you know, particularly maybe long runs or hard runs.
Yeah. loud music.
Music.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. If I'm especially feel a little bit tired, and you know, if you're thinking, you know, you're still in bed and something, and you're thinking, what am I doing? I can't be bothered. So I'll just stick some music on, and that normally gets me through. And just flicking through, and you know, I don't listen to the same sort of music each run. Just having like a decent playlist and stuff, and getting the tunes on that get you going. That's probably it. I don't have any counting or no, not really. Just get some music on and get mental.
Yeah, sounds good. So, what's your top tune then? What'd be your all time top tune if you have to choose?
Oh, all-time top tune. Oh, God, I don't.
Put you on the spot.
I don't know. I just get some Clubland classics on sometimes, and then other times I might be a bit of ABBA.
Oh, you know, excellent. Can't be a bit of ABBA.
Oh, a bit of Chiquita, whatever it's called. That's a good one. Yeah, I don't stick to one music genre. It's you know, sometimes you're feeling one thing and something else. So, yeah, get it on.
Fab. Okie dokes. Finally, from me, I mentioned that I tend to see quite a bit on social media, Callum and Sean take pictures of the kit and they put these laid out on social media before they do a run. And I was asking them whether it's some sort of superstition or ritual that they have. I just wondered if you have any kind of superstitions or rituals when it comes to running. I know we touched on that about this before a bit earlier.
I do like the kit out. I've done that a long time. Yeah, when I was in the army back in, when I was 16. When I was about 18, I joined the regimental ski team. So we went away for 3 or 4 months a year and skied. And we used to lay our ski kit out, you know, boots at the bottom. And, you know, I don't know why. Maybe so you think you lay it out so you see you've got it all and then you put it in your bag. Maybe it's a thing just to check in that you've got everything from head to toe. I'm not sure what it is. But I still normally do that in the spare room.
Take a picture of it and post it on social media.
I have done. If you went on my Instagram, I have done in the past, yeah.
But you don't always do it. It's not like a ritual or a superstition or anything.
No, just a bit of fun, isn't it? No. I don't do it for every race, no. I've just done it for the odd one in the past.
But you've got this bit of a superstition about the number 4 that you might.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's a bit random. Yeah, it's not all the time. It's a bit of OCD, I think.
Sometimes comes in.
Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? The mind fascinating.
It's weird. It's scary as well.
It's scary, yeah. Right. Okie dokie. Cheers, Gav. That's all my questions. So we're going to move on to some listener questions now. So first one's from Justin Johnson, Pride of Village Striders. So he said that in the time I've been running, I've noticed some of you absolutely smash a park run or a race, but then look disappointed with the time or write on Strava that it's not where you want to be. As a fairly new runner, I'm still always happy to just finish any race or park run, especially because I'm still regularly hitting PBs. So when you're at the level that you lads are, does it sometimes become harder to find enjoyment in running if you're not always smashing out PBs? And if so, how do you maintain the motivation? Do you sometimes have to remind yourself that it's all about enjoying it, or does a competitive side sometimes take over?
Good question, by the way.
Yeah, great question, isn't it?
I think, well, the last year before COVID started, I'd hit 10K PB, half, and 5K. So, and that was at 34. So, not sure I'm at that stage yet, potentially now, because I've wasted 6 months doing hardly anything. So we'll see when I get back how hard it is to get back in shape. But I think obviously you're going to get a dip sooner, you know, at some point.
Yeah.
But it's about adjusting your goals and thinking. And I think we've touched on this on previous episodes, and Matt Barnes wrote, mentioned this last time I caught with him. He said, you know, he's run sub 14, 29:30, maybe under, you know, and sub 4 minute mile. And he said it's just, you know, he's sort of, once he got to like vet 40, he sort of just adjusted his goals.
Yeah.
Started thinking more on the lines of vet 40. So as long as you keep goals and a reason to run, obviously if you enjoy it and it's, you know, it, and it's a hobby anyway, but if you enjoy it, great. Yeah. But if your hobby is setting PBs and trying to run well, just reset sort of your goals.
Yeah.
And try and think of something else. So, so say for instance, she was winning Manchester leagues 10 years ago, maybe look at another cross-country league that's potentially a lower standard, or like I mentioned about what Matt did, started looking at the Vet 40 sort of stuff and racing them rather than racing the top boys. So it's just about resetting your goals and having a reason to run for. Yeah,
good answer. And I think, if I remember rightly, I think Dave said similar, because I think he was saying he maybe doesn't hit PBs like he might have used to, but now he looks at the vet category. So, you know, how well can he do in that vet category? It's just kind of re-looking at it, isn't it, where you are and what other goals you can strive to achieve, really.
Yeah, and also you've got season's best as well.
Yeah.
Which is obviously second to your PB, but it's what you're doing at the minute, so you can try and keep running season's best potentially and maybe use that. But
brilliant. Okay, Mark Boosie, Daddy's Escape, I think Stockport Harriers now as well. If you had one running wish to come true in 2022, what would it be?
I suppose this is more rather than just about me, is probably that the races stay on for people. With COVID picking up, I think just potentially the races stay on.
Yeah, brilliant.
It's probably the one. And on a personal level, just try and get back into a routine and get fit and stuff and get back doing probably park runs first protocol.
Yeah.
But yeah, the races staying on is probably the one. And obviously, as long as it's safe to do so. But, you know, the wish would be for that, I think.
Yeah, I think everyone's missed the races, aren't they, really? So it would be nice to see everybody coming back together again a bit more.
Yeah.
Okay, now for a question from Dave Norman. Not the Dave Norman, another Dave Norman via Instagram.
Oh, there's two.
Yeah, there's two, yeah. Potentially more, but definitely two. So the question from Dave is, how do you fit Christmas in during such a busy training period?
Oh, well, it's not at the minute, unfortunately, Dave.
It's not a problem at the minute.
Well, I think, obviously, there's quite, you know, most people have some sort of commitment at Christmas, whether it's family or myself. I was working last year. So, as an example, for last year, I ran to work and then about half an hour and then ran home. And so I got two runs in, about 9 miles in total. And then, you know, straight into Christmas. So
yeah,
I think, you know, you don't have to go out and smash a two-hour run. But, you know, if you want to just keep ticking over, you want to get a run in, just go out and get 5 miles in.
Yeah. Just making the time.
Well, that's it. Yeah, just a quick half an hour. Maybe everyone's getting ready or something.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're laughing, yeah.
Sounds good. Okay, we've got some quick fire questions from Abigail Chloe on Facebook. So she wants to know, trail or road?
Road. Oh, hang on. Whoa. What's that? Trail. I do love a good trail run. Just runs or races? Just runs.
Just in general, yeah. Would you choose to go on a road run or a trail run?
Okay, trail.
Trail. That was a quick change of answer.
Yeah, it's nice to trail, isn't it? Sometimes you just get off the road and it's busy, get on the trail and get in touch with your inner chi.
Yeah, definitely. I'm a trail girl. I find it boring just plodding on the roads.
Yeah, it is. It is sometimes.
Yeah, be a bit more mindful, I think, can't you, off-road?
Certainly.
Okay, distance or speed?
Speed.
Okay, so short and fast.
No, long and fast. A bit both.
Somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. Tempo.
Flats or hills?
Flats.
Really? Can't say flat. Living round here, Gav. You don't run anywhere flat round here, can you?
It depends on the run, though, doesn't it? Yeah. You know, if you're getting a Sunday running, yeah, it's nice getting some hills in, but you're getting a session and you want it flat, don't you, so you can get going.
So it depends again, doesn't it? It's more to it. They're not really quick.
Yeah, they're not quick. No, there's more to it.
And then the big question, Adidas or Nike?
Oh, easy, easiest one of the lot. That it's got to be Nike for me.
Yeah, oh, I'm a Nike girl. I like the answer. Good. Callum's answer was Nike Das, I think.
Was it?
He can't quite commit, so I think he said Nike Das.
So do the free, does he put a little tick at the bottom of the three stripes?
Yeah. I think he's gradually moving over to the Nike side, isn't he? But not quite.
No, yeah, he has got a lot of Adidas kit. He's going to have to shift that or build an extension, I think, to store that if he stops using it.
Oh, dear. And finally from Abby, she said solo or group?
Depends how work's been and if I don't want to speak to anybody or not.
Yeah.
But no, I do like a group run, but I could take either, to be honest. Like I said, it depends depends how the day at work's been, and sometimes you just rather go on your own.
Yeah, it's true then. So I think it is. I'm a bit like that. I love a good like social run. I think sometimes if I've been really busy at work and I feel like I've just been in meetings and not stopped talking, it is nice just put my earphones in and just go off on my own, to be honest.
Yeah, get on the canal paths or on the trails.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, a few questions from Andy Sykes now. So he said, will you be running on Christmas Day?
Normally, yes. I'll let you know how many drinks there for Christmas Eve. You know what? I'm going to commit. Yeah, I'm going to go for a run.
Oh, excellent.
And it's going to be on Strava. There you go. There you go, Andy.
Yes. Well, if it's not on Strava, it didn't happen, did it? So.
Oh, no, it didn't. No, it didn't happen on the Casio.
Right, I'll be sat on Strava. I'll be watching.
Oh, pressure.
And have you got an event in 2022 that you're targeting for a great performance?
No. None at the minute. I need to get in a, and I've been saying this since the tour, I need to get training, get fit, and then potentially see how I'm going, maybe a marathon in the autumn or late autumn towards sort of October, maybe. Right. Would be good.
Got one in mind? What marathon would you be looking at? Do you know?
I think London is on, isn't it? It's the last. It's not moved back to the summer, has it yet? I think it's...
Oh, it's October.
Is it October?
Yeah,
so potentially that. Yeah, potentially that.
Great. Yeah, well, I'm in London 22, and I think Callum is as well, isn't he?
I'm sure Sean's mentioned it. I don't know if he's doing it.
I think Sean will have got, because he got good for age place, didn't he? So he will be able to do it. So yeah, and it's a great one. So yeah.
Yeah. So maybe commit to that. But at the minute, no. But well, Sean's doing Boston. I've just seen. Callum's message.
Yeah.
No London for Sean. He'd probably do both, to be honest. If they're on the same day, probably fly back.
Yeah, I know. He did. He's like me. He did love London. Can't get enough of it. No. What about the tour? Will you be doing the tour, Gav? Just out of interest, because I know we spoke about that quite a bit.
See where I am. What's he put? Yeah, he will.
Okay, so Callum's answered for you.
Yeah, go on then.
I think that's it. Of course you will.
Get it, yeah. I'll say we're having a boy in February. So, you know, that'll be, Ava will be 16, 17, she'll be about 20 months. And then we'll have a little boy, so see how hectic it is. But we'll see. Yeah.
It'll be your excuse to get out and train. You'll need a reason to get out and go running.
Yeah, maybe. Okay.
Yep. So that's
I'm
Gabby's in. Brilliant.
He's
okay.
In.
And then final question from Andy Sykes. He said, who from our local talent pool are you looking forward to see tackling events in 2022? I've just seen Ash Buckley do a top job at the Stockport 10 miler. So outside of Dave Barrett, he's the one for me. So anyone you put your eye on?
Yeah, I'd like to see how Carl's getting on, because he's had a tough few years. So Carl Hardman.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see him get back somewhere to his best. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Carl can do.
Brilliant.
He's a good lad, Carl. I like Carl. So let's see what you can do, Carl boy.
Apart from he eats pineapple on pizza, so I don't think I can be friends with him.
Why?
We better put pineapple on a pizza.
You can.
Oh, don't tell me you like pineapple on a pizza as well, Gav.
It's not my first choice, but yeah, it's decent.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just wrong. Pineapple don't belong on a pizza. That's really odd.
I don't think cheese bones on sprouts.
You can't knock it till you've tried it, honestly.
Have you tried pineapple pizza?
Yeah, I'm not sure sweet potato base belongs on a pizza, to be honest, but I'd give that a try.
It's butternut squash, actually.
Ah.
It's a butternut squash base, gluten-free, Papa John's. But I'll tell you what, we'll do a live podcast event, and I'll have sprouts and cheese.
Yeah.
And you can have a Hawaiian pizza.
On a sweet potato base? Oh, on a...
whatever base. Have a normal base if you want, yeah.
As long as they have pineapple. It's like the pineapple being warm. It's just wrong.
It's decent, though. It works. It does work.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think, talking of weird foods, Dave said that he has sprouts in a curry.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, have you tried that one?
No.
I'm sure that's what he said. I'm sure he said there's somewhere that he orders a curry from and it's got sprouts in it.
I can't say I've tried that either, no.
No, me neither. So I think, it was in the rice, sprouts in the rice.
Well, co-op, obviously co-op.
Yeah, maybe the, not sure.
Yeah, I won't be going days for tea, I know that.
Yeah, sprouts with cheese, definitely. Okay, anyway, moving on. Final question of the episode comes from Hayley Simpson. So she's just asked, what are your goals for 2022?
Sort me head out, get running.
Excellent. Short and sweet. I like
that. That's it.
Brilliant. So you come back going to be New Year or...?
Yeah, I've started doing some indoor cycling at the minute. Which I'm enjoying. I'm training probably every 2 out of 3 days for the past couple of weeks.
Right.
And then once I get sort of through Christmas, I'm not on my Garmin on for about 2 months. It's just been sat in the cupboard, so I need to dust that off
and get
running. I am going to run Christmas Day.
Excellent.
Commit to that. But I'm just enjoying the indoor cycling. We've got quite a good virtual indoor cycling studio. It's got a big projector on. It's got like Les Mills Virtual on and stuff. So I've just been enjoying that, really, and doing that. So, yeah, Christmas Day, maybe the comeback will start then. What better time?
Fab. Look forward to it. Awesome. Well, that's all my questions, Gav. So thank you for that. Glad we got to do the interview.
No, me too. And I'm just going to flip it around now. I've got one question for yourself. As I've just mentioned, I've got a second baby coming in Feb.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. So obviously I'll probably have a little break from the podcast just because it's going to be busy. So I just wanted to ask if you would like to step in and take my place on some of the episodes.
Oh, I'd love to. Yeah, definitely. If the guys are all sure that they want me. I guess you might have to sit back first.
No, the boys are in. So yeah, happy days. So we'll look forward to that. It'd be good to get a female perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've learned loads from you guys listening already. So to work more closely with you and be involved in the podcast, absolutely. I'm sure I could, build on that learning already as well. And to give a female perspective, I mean, I'm no expert. I feel a bit out of my depth, I think, alongside you guys. I'm not quite out of par with any of you, but. If I can add a female perspective and, add anything, then absolutely be a great learning curve for me. So, yeah, I'd be honoured to.
Happy days. I'll get Callum, our admin assistant, to draw up the agreement and get it faxed over.
Excellent. Sign the dotted line.
Oh, yeah. Sign your life away. He's put admin assistant sod off.
Thanks for having me on to interview you. Really enjoyed that. Brilliant. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for joining us again.
Thanks, Casey.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
And well done on your marathon as well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was good fun.
Today's episode of Walker Runners Podcast has been powered by TalkTalk's Future Fibre. UK's fastest and most reliable broadband technology. which is now available here in Manchester. Search Talk Talk Future Fibre to find out more.
That's it for this episode, and that's it for this season. Thanks to all the guests, and most importantly, thanks to all the listeners. Keep getting them suggestions in for next season's guests in the usual ways over Facebook, Instagram, Twitter and email. And have a great Christmas and New Year. And remember, have a wonderful Christmas. So cheesy that.